As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper and call the deacons forward, I want to read a few verses from the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, it's so easy to just read over that and it becomes so familiar to us that it stops touching us personally. But even as I was just reading this a moment ago, a couple of words jumped out at me. He says, "This is my body, which is for you." The death of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary and his subsequent resurrection from the dead is for you. Not just you generically, but you specifically. And if you were the only person on planet Earth, Jesus would have still died that agonizing death on the cross 2,000 years ago. And we need to personalize this. The other word that jumps out at me is this word often. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. In other words, communion is designed by God to be practiced regularly within his church. Different churches handle it differently. We, as the leaders here at Sugarland Bible Church, have decided to practice this the first of the month, as a regular reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And consequently, we are fulfilling the commands of God. The communion, the bread and the wine, don't save anybody, but they're a reminder of what Jesus did. They're a reminder of the sacrifice that he made for us 2,000 years ago. The bread, of course, would represent or it would symbolize the body of Jesus Christ that bore the wrath of a holy God in my place, and the cup would represent his blood, which was spilled specifically on my behalf and specifically on your behalf as well. And as we partake of the elements together, this part of the service is really designed for the believer. You don't have to be a member of Sugarland Bible Church to participate, but what we do ask is that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because this ordinance is for you as the believer to assist us through the form of pictures as to what Jesus has done. And this is so the message would never get old to us, the message would never get stale, the message would never lose its life or its power or its vitality. Christ has commanded his church to practice this ordinance as a physical reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's a reminder to us that salvation may be free to us, but it was not free to Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, who paid such a great price to procure for us so great a salvation. And as we partake of this together, we leave with an attitude of gratitude, of hearts of thankfulness of what Jesus has done. And as we understand what he has done and what we have received, we explode into praise, and we really can't do anything else other than offer ourselves and our lives to him as a living sacrifice. So that's what this is all about. If you are an unbeliever, we would simply ask you to allow the elements to pass by. And at the conclusion of this service, I'm going to be giving an opportunity for unbelievers that may be here today to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So with those thoughts in mind, at this time we will distribute the bread. Thank you. And remembering the sacrificed body of our Savior, shall we eat together? The book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the end of the verse says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. As we mentioned before, salvation is free to us, very costly though for Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation could not have been procured unless Jesus had volitionally, voluntarily shed His blood on our behalf. In fact, He said to the Father there in Gethsemane, he seems to be indicating if there was another way. And yet there was no other way. This is the only way a holy God can forgive sin unconditionally and still maintain His holiness. An innocent substitute must be punished. And as that happens, the righteousness and the wrath of God is satisfied, and as we trust in Christ and find ourselves under His provision, the sin debt that we owe is done away with. And this is what we call the gospel, the plan of salvation. These are the things that we are to be thinking of as we partake of the cup together. So at this time, we will distribute the cup. In remembering the blood of the Savior, shall we drink together? Shall we pray? Father, we are overwhelmed at your gift and graciousness to us. Help us, Father, to bask in your grace today and this week as we worship, love, and serve and adore you all the more. We ask that you'll do this great work in our hearts. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.